Welcome. 7:60 a.m. Paul W. Smith is out. I'm in for him today. Welcome to Focus. It's a beautiful Friday. It's sunny. The weather's a little chilly, but that's all right. We are excited. We're going to kick this show off. It's going to be great. Thanks for having me. I'm totally honored to sit here where Paul sits, where the king of talk radio in Detroit sits. To be in that throne is awesome. With me, behind the glass, Michael Parsons and Kelsey Phillips. Folks, how are we doing?
Good, Michael. Welcome to this side of the coast, I guess.
Yeah, well, just a little south.
Yeah.
That's all. It's all connected. There's the St. Clair River. You got the Lake St. Clair. You got the Detroit River. You can get there by boat. I didn't take mine this morning.
I was going to say, if it's a little warmer, you could have jet skied here.
Yeah, no, not this morning. It was a little chilly. I pulled it out, fired it up, decided now we're going to get in the car and drive downtown.
So. Right. Maybe later on in the summer. I'll go pick you up at the river and drive you over.
There we go. That'll be a grand old time here. So a lot happening in Detroit, a lot of talk about today, a lot happening in Michigan Stump Coast. But, again, incredibly honored to be here. Michael, you've been gatekeeping some info from me. And I'm up a wall. I got to tell this story. Before we get into what we're going to talk about today, I would consider myself a fast food savant, a sommelier of drive-through orders, all that good stuff.
It's giving notes of McDonald's Coke.
Yeah, exactly. I know the diet from the regular, from the fountain, all that stuff. I went through the drive-through yesterday, had a Burger King burger, and like every drive-through process, as soon as they hand you the bag, you open the bag and you say, hey, make sure you got everything in there. It was a box, and I had never seen a Burger King Whopper in a box. So I said, excuse me, I think I... Nope.
Yeah.
That's your stuff.
That's
away I went. Well, I went back to my house, opened the bag, opened the burger. I was expecting the Whopper to be in a wrapper like they have been for my entire life.
It's right.
In a box. Michael, we need to listen to the Burger King. He knows what he's talking about. Putting that thing in the box was awesome. Just the bun wasn't soggy.
Right.
I didn't have to take a shower after I ate that burger. It was honestly, and that's why they call him the Burger King. He's not the Burger Prime Minister or the Burger Speaker of the House. He's the Burger King. He knows what he's doing. We just need to listen to him every once in a while.
Not the Burger Apprentice. And surprising because I think I'm like you. I kind of always liked how the Whopper would kind of steam itself and the bun would be a little bit soggy. It all kind of worked together in the worst and best possible way.
Well, yeah, and you're used to it, right?
You
smell the charbroil, you open that thing up, there's mayonnaise, there's ketchup, there's everything all over. You just know you're getting into a mess. Now you don't.
So as an aficionado, you know, the big arch was big news here on the show with Paul and
yeah.
I. What your thoughts?
You know, I think it's a good burger. I think they are adapting and evolving, and I'm all for it. Like, I'm all for food. In fact, a little local news here, Comerica Park introduces their newest menu items, and boy, let me tell you, they are a concoction of all sorts of different stuff. I'm so excited to get into Comerica Park and try some of these things. For instance, the pierogi nacho bowl in the little souvenir plastic hat. Got to try that.
Little nod to their neighbors in Hamtramck and the Polish heritage. Yeah, sure.
What they're calling a tiger tail, which is a foot-long corn dog rolled in a cheese powder topped with chili sauce, mustard, and diced onions. It's giving Coney dog.
Yeah. See, that would work. However, I feel like food at a sporting event or an arena or a stadium needs to be portable. I'm already a messy eater to begin with, so I need something that I could eat in my seat without it getting all over me.
Well, Michael, let me tell you about this next item. A straight-up turkey leg with some barbecue sauce on it. That's on the menu over at Comerica Park. Let me tell you, talk about portable food. I feel like that is the origin of food portability, right?
Give me a chalice and a Viking hat and I'm in. I've always wanted to eat a giant leg of something like I'm at medieval times.
Exactly. Well, you're going to get your chance this year at Comerica Park. A lot of exciting stuff.
You know, they're on pace to win 162 games this year.
I can see it. Yeah. I can see the perfect season. and then fizzling out the last
and then missing the play, the wild card somehow.
Yeah, somehow, right. No, a lot to talk about today. We're going to be talking a lot of sports. We're going to be talking a lot about Michigan's Thumb Coast, checking in with a few new movies that are popping up this weekend. So we're off to a good start today, Michael. And honestly, the sun shining means it's going to be a good Friday. It means it's going to be a good weekend. And I think everybody should just take a second, realize that this big orange ball in the sky is providing a little bit of solace to us, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's that March-April kind of back and forth between it being winter and spring trying to emerge, trying to see if it's going to get a little warm on Sunday. So it's going to continually get warmer over the weekend. So,
well, I'm sure Rich has got some great traffic weather reports in the next couple hours. Just a little detail, what's coming up here between noon and two, talking a lot of March Madness tournament, some basketball stuff this year and next year, because next year is a big momentum shift for the city of Detroit hosting that Final Four. That's going to be awesome. We're going to be chatting Tigers as their opening day game was yesterday. And boy, are there some really great points there. We've got a rookie that is just lights out.
Who we didn't know if he would make the squad at the beginning of spring training.
Yeah, I hear he found out like 3 days ago or something like that. It's crazy. Going to be chatting with an arts festival in Port Huron and the center of that, what's all happening there. So if you're looking up for some things to do in the spring moving into the summer, don't worry. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of ideas, give you some places to go, things to see, events, all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, and you know, the Blue Water area is great because you can take a day trip, but it still feels like you're getting kind of out of town. But it's also close enough where it's not going to take up your entire weekend.
Well, what I would say is, like, if you've got kids, right? Say you got a van or an SUV that has a DVD player in the back. You've got kids. You put on a Disney movie. You put them in the car. You head up to our area, and you're there before the movie's over. You can finish the movie on the way home.
Yeah. We'll get you there in one half of an Aladdin.
Yeah, well, you know,
maybe three-quarters of an
three-quarters,
Aladdin.
Yeah. Before the genie it turns evil in Aladdin. Right. Sorry if I'm spoiling anything for anybody.
Yeah.
And then talking with an historic hotel in St. Clair, they're coming up on their 100th anniversary. That's going to be pretty cool, too. And then a lot of different ways to get active in moving this spring, summer into fall along the waterline. I know people love hanging out on the shorelines if it's the Detroit River, Lake St. Clair, the St. Clair River, Lake Huron. Yes, even Lake Michigan. We'll give them some credit too.
Well, and the Port Huron River Walk, Riverfront, has been happening for a long, long, long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have put so much investment and work into making sure that folks can experience the waterfront. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And we're going to tell you how to do it. I don't know if it's lunch hour for you, you're on your way home from your shift, you're getting your sandwich out, or maybe it's a Big Arch or a Whopper in a box. I don't know what you're doing, but I know you don't want to turn the channel, don't want to switch your web browser. Stick around. More Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Michael Hensley on WJR 760 AM. Well, it's the day after Tigers opening game. So excited. And boy, what a debut. Here to chat Tigers with us is Rogelio Castillo. You got some inside baseball for us, I hear.
Yeah, I've been following and watching Kevin's descent from the minor leagues for a while, and our website has our Twitter feed and our X feed has a bunch of his clips. So it's been fun watching that game yesterday. It had a real significant meaning to us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think youngest player to be awarded the on an opening day roster, and boy, am I glad they gave him a spot.
Yeah, and the thing about yesterday too, he's the youngest Tigers player ever with 4 hits, I think, and he tied Billy Beane, who made his debut in 1987, with 4 hits as well. But he's the youngest. He's younger than Billy Beane was at the age of 23, and he's the second youngest player ever in MLB history behind Delano the Shields, who did that in 1990.
I mean, if you're looking at yesterday's game as a barometer to how the Tigers are going to handle this year, right? Seems like last year they had a really great start and kind of fell off after the All-Star game. And I feel confident, And I don't know about you, but I feel confident that the Tigers are going to be able to weather some of the storm coming through this year. And a guy like Kevin McGonigal just kind of adds a shot of you know, steroids into that to give you some real, real help looking at, you know, the outlook of the Tigers this year.
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at that first inning where the Tigers had some good quality at bats, trying to draw walks, Riley Green had that walk, and they've been really patient. I think that last year we didn't see it towards the second half of the season, but I think with McGonigal, you have a Tiger who is hitting for average in hits, and that's something that we no offense to Cole Keith or anything, and Cole Keith's a good player and watching his descent, but McGonigal is already kind of more advanced that way. And you have a true table setter right now. And if you can make those adjustments as the season goes along, I think that bodes well for the Tigers offense.
Well, and I agree with you. And then defensively coming with the two-time Cy Young winner certainly helps. And yesterday, you know, a three in a row opening day start for Tarek Skubal. He did a pretty good job, I would say. I would think that up at the top tier of his performances yesterday, he did a great job.
Yeah, and when he was talking about his changeup afterwards, he got an 80% whiff rate on it. So 80% of the people just swung and miss on it. And he said his changeup was, you know, average. And that cracked me up when I heard that after the game. So I guess, you know, but it did a really good job of setting up his fastball too, because there was that strikeout of Jackson Merrill where Merrill was sitting changeup and he got him right there on the outside corner and painted it better than Bob Ross did. And so, yeah, he was really on top of his game yesterday.
Well, it gives me hope. Like I said earlier, big Tigers fan. And in the last couple of years, my fandom has grown quite a bit, even with all of the, you know, how to watch them. That's just been the only thing in figuring that out. But other than that, I mean, I'm optimistic. You know, I hate to wish it away, but I can't wait for October baseball because I know the Tigers are going to be in it. And I am just, I'm ecstatic for this season. How about you, Rogelio?
I'm in too. I'm really excited to see the growth of guys like, you know, Dylan Dingler with the home run yesterday. I think he's a guy who last year had 13 home runs. I think he can hit for more home runs. And his potential has continued to grow as a player. I think it's going to be great. I think Riley Green's going to have a good year. Even with like the tangibles with Framber and all those just getting the start tonight, the fact that Tigers went out and spent on free agency and pitching and addressing pitching specifically, I know fans were just like, well, they need another bat. And I admit that I was one of those too, but they had enough bats internally right now. And you're going to see, there's going to be other prospects that will leave you at some point, but overall, you look at how, you know, Baez with his defense, even if he doesn't hit, he does provide a solid option in center field and shortstop. And position versatility is what I really, really like about this team and how AJ Hinch plays up to the matchups really well.
Yeah. And you're right. Like two of the things they needed at the end of that last year was another bat and somebody who could, you know, come in one or two games away from Skubal and, you know, take us through a series. So I'm glad that they addressed that. I'm glad that they addressed the bat with Mr. McGonigal coming in. I mean, I don't know. Is that a stroke of luck or was that a long-term play that kind of played out really well yesterday?
I think it's a really long-term play. I think they were able, the way they came down in the draft too, that a lot of teams were, I remember when Baseball America, we were doing a draft show, and Baseball America was shocked they were still there sitting at pick number 39. And as soon as they were able to grab them, they snatched them up immediately. And it was because, I mean, the guy hit at every level in school, in on the showcase circuit and everything. And I had people who were messaging us saying, man, you guys got a really good player. And we're like, okay. And, you know, we always try to temper expectations of fans. But then when we saw him and then just the ability to adjust so quickly and then have such a great eye at the plate, we're just like, oh, wow. And so I can understand why Scott Harris decided to wait and decide not to spend money on free agency a little, because McGonigal is that special of a player. When you're able to go on the road in a place like San Diego, you saw the fans yesterday, they're getting up amped for it. And that's a very good Padres club. And to go in there like that, look unfazed, just, it was really impressive. And you know, again, you try not to get caught and eventually teams are going to adjust everything, but to go on your opening day like that. You've never played above. You've only played in double A ball, and you're going up there like that, looking like a veteran. That bodes very well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it seems like, I don't know about you, if I was in that situation, I would be shaking in my boots, which I think he certainly said yesterday that there was an element to that, what it seemed like for a microsecond, and then away we went. So to have somebody behind the bat that is a professional like that, that can handle some of those opening day jitters, I think when we get in these big game situations later on into the season, it's going to work just fine.
Yeah, and you look at also the position for, I get back to the position versatility for a second. You look at the fact that you can put him at short and third. Then you have Cole Keith that can play third or second or first. Then McKinstry's right there to play any of those infield spots. And then if you're feeling froggy, Matt Verling can come back and play third base. But that's what I like about McGonagall. The defense, something that worth mentioning is that there was questions about his defense, and he worked with Alan Trammell in the Arizona Fall League, and he continues to work with others on the staff. It's night and day. I mean, last year I saw him in double-A struggle sometimes with, like, just a routine play, and he would boot it, but the arm strength was there. This year it's been smooth. I mean, if you think about minor league season ended in September and October, and here we are in March, and he looks like a completely different defensive player. It's something that the work ethic, everything he puts into it, he really, really cares about his craft, and it showed yesterday.
Well, it certainly showed yesterday. I'm excited to see more McGonagall. Certainly excited to see more Scooble. Certainly excited to see Verlander back on the mound, and we're going to see it all this year in the Tigers. So very excited. Rogelio, thank you so much for joining us for a little chat there.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, coming up here next is we're going to be talking with the Wrigley Center about Art Hop Port Huron. Welcome back. The time is 12:35 on March 27th, a Friday, a beautiful Friday, sunny Friday outside, a little chilly, but that's all right. We like the sun. Gives us hope for what's coming in the spring and the summer. What's coming in the spring is a whole bunch of stuff, particularly in Michigan's Thumb Coast. And the heart of that region is a little town, not so little town anymore, called Port Huron. And in Port Huron, there is this great, I'm going to call, I even think entertainment venue is like a downgrade. I think this is a great activity venue. There's so much going on. It's called the Wrigley Center. If you're in Port Huron, you need to check it out. If you're not in Port Huron, you need to get there so you can check it out. It's right in the heart of downtown. With us is the general manager at that center, Darren Lee. Darren, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I am doing well. The Wrigley Center has a lot going on, but coming up in a couple of weeks here, 49 days to be exact on the website, is Art Hop Port Huron. And you guys as the Wrigley Center are kind of spearheading this effort. Can you give us a little of information on Art Hop Port Huron?
Well, Art Hop Port Huron this year, it's been a running tradition, as I understand, in Port Huron. I'm just recently new to the area myself and running the Wrigley Center, but what a great community. And they really seem to really support art a lot in the community. So we took it over this year, and we're going to spearhead it and try and make it something a little bigger and a little better than what it was, putting art and businesses downtown to draw people in to look at the artwork, to basically give their opinion and even vote on it. There is going to be contest and prize money involved in this, so the more the merrier when it comes to the artists, and hopefully the more the merrier as it comes to the businesses. We can bring people into downtown to see some interesting things.
Well, and I think that's a great point, Darren, that merging this art show with being located downtown, it draws people into places that they may not go in on their own because they want to see some pretty cool art in some of these businesses. And last year, this event went from a weekend to a two-week kind of rolling event. So that's an exciting addition, and people are going to get time to see these artists' piece.
Yes, and that gives everybody more time to stroll through the businesses and the local places in town that are featuring the art. And, of course, at the Wrigley Center, I've got quite a bit of room, and I love working with the public when it comes to things like this. So last year we had a great turnout. We had a great setting for people to do arts, and we even had craft show involved with it, which we will again this year. It should be a pretty special event, and hopefully we can help take it to the next level.
Well, we are excited about that, and I'm sure everybody listening is as well. You know, rivaling things like Arts Beats Neats and Art Hop over in Grand Rapids, the benefit of having something like this in Port Huron, if you're from the Metro Detroit area, it's not a far drive at all. And while you're there, you can do all sorts of different stuff in Port Huron on Michigan's Thumb Coast. Darren, I want to talk a little bit about the Wrigley Center, because what a unique property that is. How many eateries, restaurants, you know, bars, how many places like that are in Wrigley Center?
Well, under one roof, we've got the County Bar, the County Bowl, which is a folding center. I've got D.B. Harrington's Pizza, the Colony Kitchen, the Black Market Kitchen, which is a display cooking kitchen for, we do things like charcuterie classes. Matter of fact, we have one tomorrow that you could sign up for. We do food out of the upstairs. We have a fine dining restaurant called Port Steak and Seafood, which has been very well received by the public since I opened it in August. And I would advise anybody that if you're looking for fine dining, you no longer have to leave Port Huron. You just have to come to the Wrigley Center and go to the second floor, and you're all set.
That's awesome. And and the restaurant scene is so vibrant in downtown Port Huron. Having these places all under one roof is such a unique thing. You can kind of even do a little restaurant tour in one night and not leave the building. That's awesome.
Exactly. And there's so many other things in the Wrigley Center that involve just family fun. And I'd heard you refer to it as an entertainment center. I would refer more to it as a family fun center. Yeah. I've got a pool hall, break time billiards. We've got Mount Wrigley, which we just opened, which is a 50-foot rock climbing wall, which everybody come on in, check this out. It's really something to see.
Indoor,
it's quite
right?
An adventure. It's an indoor rock climbing wall. It's 50 feet tall, and it is it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
we just opened it 2 weeks ago, and it's off to a good start.
And pair that with things like a golf simulator, a candy store, an arcade.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's got everything. If you walk in this building, you feel like you're somewhere else in the world. Doesn't matter where you're from. You could be in Miami, New York, Chicago, L.A., Port Huron.
And what a special thing to have that in Port Huron. You make a great point. You know, and it's a great, you hit the nail on the head, a family center. I was trying to think of a better verb or a better nomenclature than an entertainment center. But if you've got kids, you've got activities like the rock wall, the arcade, if it's just a night out with you and somebody special, you can hit Port Steak and Seafood. Right downtown, there are a few different restaurants that you could hit on top of those places. And across the street, Discovery City Children's Museum. So you have little kids.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, if you got the little ones and they get the Touch Museum and they get to play with everything right next door, they can come right over to our place, have pizza, do rock climbing. I also have a virtual reality arcade in the building as well. So there's not much we don't offer. I've got cornhole leagues. I do karaoke. We do everything you would think you'd find in a regular bar, I do, but in different sections of the building and in different bars. And I also have a speakeasy called the Laundry Room.
The
that's
laundry
amazing.
Room. Well, we won't tell too many people on how to get
in. Yeah, well, it's Port Huron's hidden gem. You got to figure it out.
You got that right. Darren, where can people learn more about the Wrigley Center?
They can go to the WrigleyCenter.com.
The Wrigley?
Go right to our website, the Wrigley Center, WRIGLUI. TheWrigleyCenter.com, and that'll take them right to our website and give them access to all the different things we've got going on.
Awesome. Thank you, Darren. And if
you
want to
learn, they can also reach us through Facebook as well. The Wrigley Center on Facebook is probably a much more informative place to find things because it's constantly, you get to see what's happening, people posting.
Yeah. Check out the Facebook, check out the website. Check this place out. If you have a weekend or a week, Port Huron is a great place to go. The Wrigley Center is a great place to start. If you want to learn more about Art Hop, porthuron.art. Darren, thank you so much for joining us. We got a
Michael. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Stay tuned. WJR 760 AM. All right, coming up on 1 o'clock here, 12:50 in the afternoon. Welcome back, Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Michael Hensley. Got a lot to talk about, but first, don't miss Michigan's largest real estate and home improvement show this Saturday and Sunday at the Oakland Expo Center in Waterford. Explore exhibitors covering every stage of the home journey, from real estate to remodeling. Bring the whole family. for interactive exhibits, and attendees can win up to $25,000 in home improvements. And WJR's Inside Outside guys will be there both Saturday and Sunday from 10 to noon. Grab advanced discount tickets at largestrealestateshow.com. That's largestrealestateshow.com. Michael, I did some remodeling a couple of years ago in the basement of my house, and I did it for this month in mind. I've got two TVs up on the wall so I could watch two really big games at the same time, but I'm in a predicament tonight. We've got Michigan State playing early on. Michigan's playing. There's another basketball game in the tournament going on, and the Tigers are going. So I might have to add another TV or prop the phone up or somehow get all three of these games up on the television screens, because I don't want to miss a minute of sports right now.
I would say add three more TVs just to be safe.
Well, a guy who's going to be there in person, Nick Ferdella with WJR Digital Sports. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing great. How are you, Doug?
I'm excited for tonight. You're live in D.C., am I correct?
Yes, I got to D.C. Last night, and I'm live right now. It's beautiful outside right now there.
Oh, good. Well, how are we looking for the Spartans tonight? The Sweet 16 matchup happening this evening around 7, am I correct?
No, it's actually the later game tonight.
Oh, it is later. Okay.
Yeah, it's slated for around 9:35, 9:45.
Okay, well, it's confusing with Michigan and Michigan State both playing this evening. That's quite a big feat. I'm excited.
I am too. I mean, right now in the East region, you got Patino, St. John's versus John Shire and Duke, and you got Hurley and UConn versus Izzo, Michigan State. It's just going to be a feast right now with college basketball.
Yeah, it's not a moment you want to miss. I could tell you that.
Nope.
Well, give us the outlook. What do you think? How the Spartans going to fare this evening?
I think against UConn, it's going to be an absolute rock fight. Two teams are very physical. Two teams want to get after the offensive glass. And to me, it's the matchup of Carson Cooper versus Terrace Reed. Both those guys want to get their teams going on the rebounding advantage. And really, if Michigan State gets Terrace Reed in foul trouble early, he's really their only, you know, dominant big man, the one that's the physical force. They don't really have a backup center that's as physical as Terrace Reed. So if they get him in foul trouble early, I think Michigan State has a great chance. And another big matchup is who's going to guard Alex Karaman. It's probably going to be both Jackson Carr and Cohen Carr at some points, but if we could slow down the three-point shooting, then I think Michigan State has a really good chance of winning tonight.
So a lot of defensive effort from Michigan State in order to pull this off tonight.
Yeah, because UConn runs some complex sets. Everyone's moving. Everyone's cutting. So there's going to have to be team defense oriented today for them to pull off the upset.
Well, I wouldn't count out Izzo in the month of March at all. So I'm excited for tonight. I think the Spartans are going to pull it off. What do you think about the Michigan game?
I think Michigan's going to win. I mean, they're just a more taller and physical team. Alabama likes to shoot threes. They beat Texas Tech. They shot 45% from three. They're going to need, if they want to win, they're going to need to shoot at least 50% from three. And I just don't think that's doable against this Michigan team. That's really good, really tall, really lengthy. I think they're going to give them fits on the offensive and defensive end of the court.
Well, it's going to be two great games back to back. What about the other two games coming into tonight?
Duke versus St. John's. That to me is going to be an all-time classic game. Duke has its problems with the injury and their depth, and St. John's is so physical. They're going to full-court press you. But the one thing with St. John's is they cannot shoot the ball that great. I think that's going to pose as Duke's advantage. I think Duke's barely going to beat St. John's. And Iowa State, Tennessee, I think Iowa State's going to get it done. I think they're the better team. They're the better offensive team and defensive team. I think Iowa State's going to get it done too.
Well, we could have quite a few Big Ten teams into the Elite Eight and down into the Final Four. So what an exciting time to be in the Big Ten Conference, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you saw yesterday Illinois pull off the upset against Houston. The Nebraska-Iowa game was just an all-time classic game. You could not stop watching that game. Iowa pulled it off. And people talking about who's the Cinderella of the tournament, I think right now it's Iowa. They beat Florida, and then they beat Nebraska. Iowa's having a great run so far.
Well, they're going up against Illinois next, so we'll see how they fare up against that team. Personally, Illinois got the championship on one of my brackets, so I don't know who to root for any of these days. The brackets are such a guessing game in the beginning. Nick, what's your bracket looking like right now?
I had Houston going to my Final Four, and they lost. So, I mean, my bracket's kind of screwed up right now. I still have Arizona, my champion, still alive. But I feel like at this point, everyone's bracket is pretty much messed up. So, at this point, if your bracket's messed up, just root for the upsets and root for whatever conference you're rooting for. And thank God, I root for the Big Ten, and the Big Ten's doing really well so far.
Yeah, that's an easy one to root for this year.
Yeah, and, everyone talks about the drought of no Big Ten team has won since Michigan State in 2000. I think this year there's going to be a Big Ten team to win it all. I just don't know who yet, but I'm fairly confident a Big Ten will win it all.
Well, the odds are certainly in our favor with the Big Ten, having one of those teams win the whole thing, win the dance, as they say, in March. So what an exciting time to be a sports fan, exciting time to be a college basketball fan. Nick, thank you so much for chatting with us and joining us and talking a lot about the NCAA tournament. Great time to be March, I tell you what.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And you mentioned earlier about the opening day Tigers baseball. It's just a great time just to be a sports fan in general with everything going on. You're going to need at least four TVs.
I'm going to have to. You know what? Maybe I'll swing by a Best Buy or something on the way home and grab a couple just in case there's another big game coming up here. Nick, thanks again. We really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Michael, sports is a great time, but all these games happen at the same time. We gotta do something about this.
I know. Yeah, they could have staggered it or did flex timing or something.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll just get every phone in the house and all the computers and just
get more stuff.
Well, I'm excited for what we got coming up next. Don't turn the dial for the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be here on Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Michael Hensley filling in for Paul. WJR 760 AM. Just a little inside baseball to the radio world here. When you're requested to fill in for Paul W. Smith, it's a lot like a master's invite. They send over a box to your house with an envelope and congratulations, you've been. It's a whole ordeal. And then, the great Michael Parsons behind the glass contacts. He says, "What do you want to talk about?" And I said, "I don't know. Can I just talk to my friends on here?"
Yeah. And I'm drunk with power every time.
No, it's great. So I've got a friend on the line. Her name's Sam J. She is the director of sales at St. Clair Inn. St. Clair Inn's a great historic property in downtown St. Clair. And if you haven't been to downtown St. Clair in a while, you need to get there. Along that coastline, there are so many different coastal cozy towns is what I like to call them, and St. Clair is one of them. The St. Clair Inn is a historic property right downtown, known for meetings and weddings and beautiful architecture. What a great asset to have in St. Clair. And this year is their 100th anniversary. So historical it surely is. Sam, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sam, tell us a little bit about the St. Clair Inn and its historic relevance for downtown St. Clair.
Yeah, I mean, the Inn is a great property. There's so much history with it. Being 100 years, I've been with the hotel a few years now, and I love hearing the stories of, my parents got married here, or we got married here 50 years ago, or, folks sending over. I just have a guest that sent a picture of her throwing her bouquet over the staircase, and I think they're celebrating 65 years now. So
it's
really cool to see, just the history and how important the Inn is to, the folks that come and visit.
Well, it's rooted in a lot of people's memories, right? For being there for 100 years, there are so many folks who've had great memories there and cherished times. Can you tell us a little bit about what has been going on at the Inn? Because I know that there's some new things happening at the St. Clair Inn in downtown St. Clair.
Yeah, so we're under new ownership right now, and they are working on finishing. We actually have a whole third floor that's in studs at the moment, so they're going to be adding some more guest rooms, and then another banquet space that overlooks the St. Clair River. So we're working on fully finishing the property. It will be a tribute by Marriott. So any of you folks with Bonvoy accounts can come and stay, earn your points or redeem. We've had a lot of really good feedback on the branding with everything, and lots of plans for the 100-year ownership group is very invested in that and really want to make sure that we, you know, kick off a great celebration.
Well, and a great celebration it will be. But you guys are akin to that. You know all about celebrations. What is the St. Mm-hmm. Clair Inn really known for?
We do a lot of weddings. We are really just starting to kick off here in April. We've got, I think, about 65 or so on the books for this year. So lots of events celebrating love. We do a lot of showers, a lot of leisure. But it's also a great spot for, you know, corporate retreats, leadership retreats, strategic planning. You know, we're really not that far away from Metro Detroit. So it's nice when people make the drive up and they're like, it's really not that far. I thought it would be further. And so you're like, tell all your friends that, right? Not that far away from Metro Detroit.
It feels further, which is a great escape, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, taking that drive, being away from the hustle and bustle, it's a great opportunity to not take a long time to get really, mm-hmm. really far away.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam, outside of the St. Clair Inn, you know, its location is prominent right downtown. Tell us a little bit about, if someone were to stay at your property, where could they go or what could they do while they're in town?
Yeah, I mean, we're walkable to the St. Clair Plaza, which has a handful of restaurants, shops, there's a coffee shop, all sorts of things. We're located on the longest freshwater boardwalk, so you can walk all the way from the inn to a restaurant called The Voyager, which is right on the river as well. Lots of fun things to do. You know, we're about 20 minutes south of Port Huron, so if you wanted to go up that way, you can. Really good restaurants right on the water. You know, great location. It's walkable to, you know, a handful of places and beautiful spots.
And they got a lot of, like, outdoor entertainment going on in the complex
there. Yeah, it's in the plaza. Yeah, in the summers they'll do live music. They've got a whole, like, kind of courtyardish area where they'll do, you know, music. They've done, you know, different, like, beer tastings in a while and all sorts of fun events to get the community out there. They did a big winter bazaar. Icy Bazaar is what it's called, with, like, ice sculptures and entertainment. And, of course, it fell on, like, the coldest weekend of the winter this year, but it lived up to its name. So.
That's part of the experience, right? You can't go to the Icy Bazaar at 60 degrees as much as we would all like to,
right?
But you've got to have a little bit of that early winter chill. Sam, real quick, if you could just mention one thing, your favorite thing about St. Clair, it could either be the inn or anything. What is one big reason for somebody to visit St. Clair, Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, for me, if you come to our hotel, our staff really, really cares about you guys having a good experience. So, you know, you can go to a property, you can stay in a hotel room, you can go eat in their restaurant, you know, you can attend an event, but our staff really, really cares and really wants to ensure that the guests have a great time. And they love hearing, like I said, the stories of, you know, I got married here 50 years ago, or, you know, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary and we're coming back every year. So it's just those sort of things that have that really personal tie-in that, you know, our team really cares about it. We love to see people coming back. You know, it's more than just a hotel to, like, rest your head.
I agree. Great customer service. The team there cares so much about your stay. They want you to have a great time. Sam, where can people learn more?
Mm-hmm. They can visit us at stclairinn.com. We have Facebook, Instagram, social media platforms there, but a couple different spots there.
Visit that website, book a room. Mm-hmm. You can always tag on bluewater.org to check out what there is to do in St. Clair and some of the surrounding areas along that coastline. Sam, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Michael, being there, I'm telling you, that building right on the water is great. It's a great, like, hub and spoke spot for the town of St. Clair.
Well, and you know, you don't just have to take you and Sam's word for it. Actually, while you and Sam were talking, a gentleman named Carl from Clay, the chairman, he goes by, said that him and his wife stayed there recently Food, service, everything was top notch. She had a great room with a balcony overlooking the St. Clair River. So you had people calling in and vouching for what a great place it was while you and Sam were talking there.
See, you don't have to take our word for it. We know a little bit about some of this stuff, right? But these reviews, these experiences.
The chairman would not lie to us.
I don't think he would. I really don't think he would. Thank you for that magnificent review, Carl, a.k.a. the chairman. If you want to learn more, you can go to bluewater.org. You can visit all sorts of different stuff while you're there. Certainly check the St. Clair Inn out this year because it's their 100th year. A lot going on. Don't change the dial. Don't switch the web browser. We got more coming on Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Michael Hensley, filling in for Paul W. on 760 AM WJR. I tell you, I'm looking out this window in the studio, seeing a train go by, the skyline in Detroit, all the big buildings. It makes me excited for this time next year, because this time next year, we've got the Final Four happening right here in Detroit, downtown Detroit. It's going to be quite the experience. Last time I was here was, 2008, 2012, something around that?
Yeah, and it was an absolute blast, and we've only gotten better at these big events.
Well, you take the draft last year. I mean, one of these things that Detroit just keeps getting better at. And kind of the guy behind it is on the line with us, Marty Dobek. Marty is the executive director at the Detroit Sports Commission. Marty, how are you?
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me on. And just one individual behind the curtain and attracting events. It really takes the entire team and the entire city, region, state, quite honestly, to attract these events and then execute them at a high level. And it's crazy to think that in 372 days, the men's Final Four is returning to Detroit, and our city is once again going to be in the world's sporting spotlight.
But who's counting, right? Who's counting? Who's counting down? You're probably really excited, but also really filled with all the things that need to get done to bring in an event like this. Take us behind the curtain. What does one attracting an event like this entail, and then what does pulling it off entail?
Yeah, I mean, Detroit last hosted the Final Four in 2009 at Ford Field, and I mean, really, when the final second came off the clock and the ticker tape fell from the ceiling, you know, the city was looking at the opportunity to host another Final Four. And it's an annual process, really, and staying close with the NCAA and developing and fostering those relationships. And the Final Four and bringing it back to Detroit, we most recently, it was a process in 2021 and 2022, and ultimately were awarded the 27th Final Four in 2022. But two cycles prior, one, we didn't get to the final stage, and then the other cycle, we did get to the presentation period, but unfortunately came up short. So it's a very structured process that you work hand in hand with your local stakeholders, and you work closely with the NCAA to ensure you have the competition venue, ensure you have the convention center, ensure you have the airports, the hotels, and the ancillary venues that come with the Final Four. So here we are, 372 days out, and we will be taking a trip down to Indianapolis next week because the NCAA mandates future hosts attend not only the Final Fours, but since we're going to be on the clock, you know, it's going to be a little bit more deeper of a visit for us, and we're going to learn a lot of things operationally, which we have been the last few years. But we're really excited, and we'll have a local organizing committee made up of the Sports Commission and Visit Detroit and City of Detroit, Ford Field, our host institutions, Michigan State University. But it's our opportunity now to really put those final plans in place, and then also our last chance to observe before the ball is officially passed to Detroit.
The final plans for the Final Four. I absolutely love it, Marty. I'm excited. I know that I've already got a little envelope in my house, and I'm, you know, stashing away for some of these tickets to come and see this, because how honestly, it doesn't happen in your home city or in your hometown, in your home state very often. So I'm sure, like myself, a lot of folks in Metro Detroit and around the state are just absolutely ecstatic for the opportunity to be able to see this in their home state, and then also have a sense of pride when it's over. When people leave, they're going to go, man, that was a great time. Detroit's a great city. It puts a great spotlight on Detroit, and it puts a great spotlight on the rest of the state as a place to come and visit, to come and hang out and see some of these great big events. Marty, can you talk a little bit about like the symbiotic relationship between attracting events like this in the large scale of the Final Four and maybe the draft, and then also what that does long term down the road for any kind of economic development or economic impact?
Yeah, I mean, the guiding mission of the Sports Commission is to bring sporting events to our region that showcase the world-class hospitality that we've been known for. And it's a concentrated effort that we work towards on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, you need to have the right individuals and the right organizations behind these efforts. And because it is viewed by the organizing body that's looking to place their event in your city. So it's so important that you are united as a destination, and in Detroit, in our region, we are, and it's so key to it. And that's what led to the record setting NFL draft in 2024, where there was so much pride. And I think more than anything, community really shined through. And it was our intentions from very early on in hosting the NFL draft that this is going to be about the community. This is an inclusive event. We want everyone from the city of Detroit residents and youth to participate in this opportunity and get to experience a world-class sporting event. And it's going to be no different with the Final Four. The Final Four the phrase we use is no ticket, no problem. There are many free or low-cost access to events throughout the weekend. If you don't have tickets to the event, but all the information is on final4detroit.com. And currently there is a ticket lottery. If those that are interested want to enter that lottery, there's a small fee attached to it. But if you are not selected as part of that lottery, you are obviously reimbursed for that. So you can go to final4detroit.com to learn more about those opportunities. But, you know, really back to the root of your question is just, it takes everybody in the city, in the region, and, you know, in the state, to all be on the same page and working off that same playbook. It's like Coach Izzo drawing up a play or Coach May drawing up a play, and everybody's got to, you know, that's where we're at right now. We're drawing up the plays, and now when the ball's passed to us, we have to go execute that on the court.
Well, that's a great analogy, Marty, and hopefully, you know, well, and we'll see after tonight, right, what the likelihood of both Michigan State and Michigan being in the Final Four in Detroit. I'm excited for that possibility. What an experience that would be.
Oh, it would be outstanding. And, you know, it's funny too, is, you know, from a Michigan and Michigan State perspective, and you know this, Michael, is where we attract conventions, meetings, and sporting events to our destinations to attract that out-of-town visitor. So say Michigan or Michigan State or somebody with close ties, you know, here in the state of Michigan were to punch a ticket to the Final Four, we would still see out-of-town visitors come. But, you know, the likely, you know, it'll be really interested to analyze that as far as two local teams participating in a Final Four that we're hosting. So it's all really good stuff, and we hope for that.
Well, I'm sure it'll boost the likelihood of just an outrageous amount of people downtown Detroit. I'm not going to miss it. Like you said, no ticket, no problem. The Final Four in downtown Detroit coming to you in 2027. Marty, thanks for chatting with us for a little bit.
Thanks, Michael. Really appreciate you having me on.
No problem. No ticket, no problem. I'm excited. I'm ecstatic. Don't change the dial. WJR, 760 AM. It's Rieger Reviews It on WJR. This is my first rendition of this. This is exciting. I like movies, Dave. This is brought to you by Wiggly's famous Eastern Market corned beef. Spring's almost here. Michigan, hang in there. Warm up at the Royal Diner in Clarkston on Dixie Highway with a Wiggly's corned beef omelet, hearty hash, or a crave-worthy Reuben. Royal Diner on Dixie Highway, proudly serving Wiggly's for 30 years. The movie review, I'm honored, man.
Yeah, hey, listen, we usually do one on the screen and one on the stream, but this week, two from the streaming side of things, one movie and one miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we'll dive into the movie first.
Yeah.
This is a Hulu movie, Mike and Nick and Nick and Alice.
Mike and Nick and Nick and Alice. Alice. Okay. Yeah.
This is on Hulu, and it's a very interesting movie. And the story follows Quick Draw Mike, James Marsden, who plays that character. He's a mob enforcer, and he's having an affair, a secret affair with Alice, mm-hmm. and the wife of his partner and his best friend, Nick, played by Vince Vaughn. Okay. Well, on a night that is supposed to end with Mike's murder, a second version of Nick from the future comes back, traveling back in time to try to kind of fix the problem or maybe stop the murder from happening. It's very interesting. It's very Terminator-esque.
Okay.
In the storyline, it's basically of just mobsters and robbers, and it's kind of cool.
This is like a culmination of three or four. Like, you got a love triangle, you got a mob movie, you got mm-hmm. a time travel movie. That's kind of exciting.
Yes.
I've seen the previews of this. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah. Very cool. It's got a little bit of, I don't know, Terminator, Back to the Future, wherever time machines are involved. It's really good. It dropped today. So anybody who's got Hulu. And then it will be, I think, released internationally through Disney Plus later on.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it three Wigglies, three out of four.
That's pretty good. That's
yeah.
Pretty,
I'm a big fan. Big fan of Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Big fan of James Marsden, too. We were talking before that you also like both of those
actors. I like James Marsden. I like Vince Vaughn. So double Vince Vaughn,
yes.
I think that makes sense why it's three Wigglies. That's nice.
Yeah. I think will like it. I think it'll do very well.
I hope so. I'm excited to see it. I'll probably watch it as soon as it's out on Disney Plus. And we're big movie folks at our house.
There you go.
Yeah, and excited. All right. Dave, tell us about the next one.
So this next one, this is a Netflix horror miniseries, they call it. This is Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. And this is the story follows Rachel and Nikki. And this is in the week leading up to their wedding at Nikki's family remote snowbound country cabin. So right there and then, you know, if it's going to be at some remote cabin in the snow somewhere and it's a horror picture, something bad is about to happen. So Rachel, she's plagued by a feeling of dread and paranoia, and she is has some strange feelings about Nikki's wealthy, eccentric family. And then you throw in there is a mysterious figure, and they just call him the Witness. And according to him, she must marry her true soulmate, but it must happen before sundown on the wedding day, or bad stuff's going to happen.
Or something bad is going to
happen.
Yes,
you could just tell that this guy knows something about Rachel that even she doesn't know about. And if Nikki is truly her soulmate, and this is an 8-part miniseries, each episode is about 53 minutes.
That's been a popular thing lately.
Yeah.
I feel a lot of these streaming platforms, instead of the 2-hour movies, they're doing the yeah. episodes. How many corned beef?
I'm going to give this one, from what I've seen, a couple of the episodes, okay. not all eight, from what I've seen, I'm going to give it 2.5 Wigglies.
2.5 Wigglies.
But if you're a big horror fan,
it could get to three.
Could get to three.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is the Riga Reviews at Movie and Entertainment Review. Dave, thanks.
Hey, did a great job. See how easy?
Yeah, easy peasy. I love it. All right, we'll be right back. WJR. It's been a long winter. It's been cold. I have not gotten out of the house as much as I should have this past winter. You know, they get harder as you get older. These winters do. But I will say, I'm looking forward to spring. And spring, it brings flowers, it brings renewal, brings some hope that summer's going to be great. One of the things that I always look forward to in the spring, in the summer, and in the fall is to hang out on a 50-mile trail that goes from Algonac all the way up to Lakeport, aligning the St. Clair River and Lake Huron, called the Bridge to Bay Trail. Parts of this trail are supported by all sorts of different communities. And it's just a great way to get out, get moving by bike, by walking, pushing a stroller, which I now do. So really, really excited to get onto that trail. With me is Sherry Faust. She's the executive director at Friends of the St. Clair River. She knows all about the Bridge to Bay Trail. Sherry, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Michael? That was a great introduction, and I'm glad you mentioned the strollers on the trail. Hope to see you out there.
Oh, yeah, I will be. My wife's been a couple of times. I'm right behind her. Usually she's walking about 50 yards ahead of me because I'm not as fast as a walker as my wife is. But, yeah, tell us about the Bridge to Bay Trail because I think all levels of active folks, if you're a runner, if you're rollerblading, if you're an avid cyclist, if you – you know, do some off the beaten path stuff. You're going to love this trail. Tell us about the Bridge to Bay Trail.
Yeah, Bridge to Bay Trail. We would love to welcome anybody up to the Thumb Coast, come up to Port Huron, and jump on the Bridge to Bay Trail. The Bridge to Bay name gets its name from some iconic landmarks in Michigan's Thumb. The bridge being the Blue Water Bridges to Ontario, Canada, and the bay being Anchor Bay down in Lake St. Clair. And in between that is 50 miles of flat paved trail that you're going to pass through 13 communities as you navigate your way through this 50 trail. You don't have to do all 50 trails or all 50 miles of the trail. Between the 13 communities, you're no more than 6 or 7 miles between each community. So if you need to stop at the beach, you want to get some ice cream, you want to hit a restaurant, you can do that in any of the communities between Port Huron and Algonac on the Bridge to Bay Trail.
So tell us on some of the terrain. I know you mentioned it's paved, but give some our listeners who are, you know, maybe they're avid cyclists, give them a little bit of, you know, outlook on what they can experience as they're moving through the trail.
Right. The Bridge to Bay Trail is unique in that it's an urban trail. So as you mentioned, it hugs the St. Clair River shoreline. It is so picturesque and so scenic. One of the great attributes of the trail is that you can do freighter watching while you're on it. But it's a diverse trail system, so you can expect to navigate in between neighborhoods and communities on this urban trail system. We have boardwalks. There's river walks. You're going to be on a rail trail at some point through rural countryside, but you're also going to be on scenic waterfront communities, bike paths, separated side paths. It's a combination of different types of cycling and pedestrian-friendly trail surfaces, but it's all paved, it's all flat, walkable, very pedestrian-friendly and kid-friendly.
Well, I tell you, what I love about something like this that combines 13 different communities, you know, all working together to complete this 50-mile trail that goes from Anchor Bay all the way up into Lakeport and Lake Huron, you know, it is a testament to if a group of folks, if somebody has a great idea and a group of folks can get behind it to get it done, it turns out into a very, very unique attribute into a community. And it also turns out that it's a great opportunity to just get out and enjoy parts of an area that really, really turn out to be beautiful.
Right. It's super scenic. My favorite thing to do is grab my two young daughters and hop on our bikes. There's three different beaches along the Bridge to Bay Trail, so maybe you don't want to come all the way up to Port Huron. There's other beaches along the trail and other waterfront communities. And, of course, we always have to stop for ice cream. So those are the things that I can easily do with my girls on the trail. But, of course, there's the short downtown loops in the communities within our longer 50-mile loop. You could even access water trails. We have lots of water paddling trailheads along the Bridge to Bay Trail. And there's even a link to a ferry to Harsons Island where you can cross the river too. So just really unique things about the Bridge to Bay Trail that we'd love for people to come up and explore. Like you said, it's getting warm, and get a tune-up on your bike and get that out and get on the trail.
Well, we're certainly looking forward now that, you know, strollers are an avid thing for me to pack into a car and get walking. We're certainly looking forward to experience some time on the Bridge to Bay Trail, you know, hanging out and watching freighters, going to the beach, getting ice cream. My wife loves ice cream. I'm sure my child, when he can have it, will also love ice cream, as that's a family trait as well. Sherry, thank you so much for chatting with me here at the last little bit of this show with us about the Bridge to Bay Trail. Where can people learn more?
BridgeToBay.org. There's download maps you can download and print. You can view the maps online. We have created routes for you all on BridgeToBay.org.
BridgeToBay.org. You can always find it on bluewater.org as well. Sherry, again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, folks, I think we're coming to the end of Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR, noon to 2. I had a great time. I don't know about you, Mike and Kelsey. I think this is a great opportunity, great show. Thank you so much for filling in with my antics.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, it was a lot to put up with, but we got through it. No, it's always great to have you in, and, you know, it's a great time to either stay home and enjoy all the sports that we have going on, or, yeah, if it's getting warm out and people want to get out of the house, they want to do something they have been doing, they haven't usually been doing, and why not take a trip an hour, hour and a half up and see what the Blue Water region has to offer.
Absolutely. We would love to have you. We can't wait to host you in Michigan's Thumb Coast in the Blue Water area. Again, thank you so much for allowing me to step into some big shoes here while Paul W. is out.
How many TVs are you picking up on the way home?
I think 11.
Okay,
I think I'm
that's
just going to get 11 yeah. And then just be safe. I'll have them in the box. I can put them up if I need to.
Yeah, that's smart.
But with the NCAA tournament, I think I got to have all of them, right?
Right. Especially if Michigan and Michigan State meet each other in the final, you're going to need two separate TVs during the Final Four until the championship game. So.
Different angles, different views, different teams, all sorts of stuff. Thanks for listening. Coming up next, JR Afternoon on 760 AM WJR.